There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you here. Live local talk over the next couple of hours and a lot to do on today's show. I want to get just quickly what we're going to do in hour two, but it is partial to what you're doing right now on the Facebook page and on our website. Ask the question this morning, do you agree with an ordinance for the city of Mobile mandating the use of masks? And I know there's a lot of what ifs and whys and all that stuff, but overall, overarching, a mandate, an ordinance, a law that says you have to wear a mask in the city of Mobile. Not people, quickly here, not in your car, not in your office, not in your home, not in your backyard, but beyond that, public places. And that's a kind of a simplistic way to say it. Do you agree with that? Well, you can vote online, front page of FMTalk1065.com. And y'all are, to frankly, to put it in my kind of parlance, y'all are melting down the Facebook page on this one. If you go to facebook.com/FMTalk1065, you can vote right there as well. Let us know what you think. We'll talk about this as tomorrow, Mobile City Council moving, and it looks like to vote on this tomorrow. But that's more coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. This hour in studio, I told you all on Friday, we'd have this man joining us. Good to have him in studio and get you a chance to talk to the candidate. You know, you're voting here, if you hadn't figured this out, in just a couple weeks in the primary runoff for AL1. And Mobile County Commissioner, candidate for AL1, Jerry Carl in studio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thank you. Thank you for letting me be on the show.
It's good to have you here, and I know a lot of people have questions, and it's, you know, often people call me and say, well, what does so-and-so think? I said, well, you know, the best thing I can do is to have so-and-so join us in studio and talk to you firsthand. So that's how we do it. So we have an hour here to talk. And first of all, let me go through the pleasantries portion of this, even though it's not real pleasant. You got 2 weeks. I mean, it's
2 weeks. Yeah, 14 days from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yep, is election day. We're ready. I told somebody the other day, I felt like I've been pregnant for 2 years. it's been such a long election cycle for all of us.
Right, because so this would have been done. Us. People don't think, I mean, but this would have been done months ago.
Yeah, March 31st, when it should have ended. So it's been extended, obviously, another, 100 days, 100 plus days?
Yeah.
Hadn't done the math yet, but so it's really worked on us.
And, it's got to work on, just maybe some behind-the-curtain stuff. You know I love this. Works on you for the amount of days you're away from home and you're campaigning and these things you do. But it also, I'm sure, people budget time and money, resources, for a certain period of time to run a campaign.
Money has probably been the hardest thing for us because all of our money has been raised locally. I think 85-86% of our money has come from within the district itself. So, you can only squeeze so much blood out of a turnip. So for us to get it canceled on by the governor, which I agree with what she did. I'm not arguing that a bit. But to move that to July, we really had to retool. We had to change everything. We changed our advertisements. We changed everything had changed, so therefore it took more money. So, I shut down for 60 days,
mm-hmm.
and I was serious when I did that. My responsibility, first and foremost, is my job, and my job is the folks in Mobile County. So I shut down for 60 days. Of course, we're back up now, and we're back raising money and doing what we have got to do to win this race.
You talked to folks, too, about coming up with very odd voting in July. Got to remind folks we're voting.
It's hot. It's on a Tuesday.
It's July voting.
We've spent so much time and money as far as Mobile County making it as comfortable as we can.
Sure.
We've moved a lot of precincts intentionally to give more social distancing, I think is the proper term. We've got gloves. We've got masks, we've got pencils, we got pens, we spit shields, we've got everything needed as safe to, as we possibly can. So please, please, folks, get out and vote.
Or if you know today's the last day to register to get vote to vote, and then I know Secretary of State John Merrill has called on the 9th is the last day for the
absentee.
And I don't know if you want to comment on this or not, but from having the Secretary of State on with me, he seems to be, I'll put words in his mouth, but very open to the amount of reasons that health could be listed as a reason to vote absentee.
Well, is that not wanting to be exposed to this virus is a good enough reason
there
for this election. We're not talking about a mail-in a mail-in campaign in the future. We're talking about focusing on just the environment right now.
So, yeah, in the past, you would say, well, I'm not sick right now, but he's, like you just said, there's an option for people who may worry because, you know, they have some kind of underlying condition.
Right, exactly. Okay. And that's what we're trying to help. We're encouraging people to do it. If they just don't feel comfortable, vote absentee.
Okay, there you go. So it's, by the way, today, last day to get registered, get those absentees in by the 9th of July and the 14th is Election Day. All right, we set the stage. Now let's talk about the campaign. As you said, 60 days shut down, ramp back up here in the campaign. And it has been, well, it's been the subject of conversation many hours on this radio station, the campaign here in a primary runoff. A lot of national attention and a lot of back and forth between you and your opponent in this.
This campaign has become very focused nationally.
Yes.
I've gotten several congressmen that are calling with support, calling and trying to prop me up, because Club for Growth has gotten so involved in this. You're talking about Club for Growth, Bill Hightower, you're talking about the same creature. And, you know, they're pouring $1.5 million into this race, to give you some idea. My opponent's collection money, I said a while ago, 85% of my money is from within the district. Probably, and I don't hold me to this, but probably 65 to 70% of his money is from outside the district. And that does not include Club for Growth. Club for Growth is a different category. We can't outspend them.
So outside the pack of Club for Growth, you're saying that that much, what percentage?
Somewhere in the 60 range.
Is coming from outside AL1?
Yes. Yes, okay. Exactly. We're like Daniel here. We got a rock and a slingshot, and you know, we're trying to fight a giant that has come in, that's bound and determined to take this district over. I mean, they're spending more money in this race against me than they're spending against the entire Democrat Party in the United States. Period. Now think about that for just a second.
So the amount of money that Club for Growth is spending here in AL1,
right,
is more than they'll spend, because y'all, the national pack, things they do nationally, more than.
They consider themselves to be a national Republican pack. Well, if you're a Republican pack, why are you spending so much money against Republicans? Why aren't you spending against Democrat Party? Because we could sure use them in some blue areas.
Why do you think?
We've got some races that are on the fence. We could use their money and their help, and we just they don't do it.
Why so much attention? I mean, they've been in this on the Senate side and the House side.
We have so much in South Alabama that goes against their principle. They believe in no tariffs. Good example, zero tariffs. We have to use tariffs in some areas to help us, especially with dealing with China. That's become such a huge issue for all of us. They were against the dredging project, dredging the ship channel. The reason they were against it, they said it should be private money, not federal money. You will never get that much private money put together to the dredging project.
This is the widening and deepening of the Mobile Ship Channel to get the people coming through the Panama Canal.
All this, in my mind, equates to jobs. And then you talk about also ship. They worked hard in questioning us about would we support the defense program, meaning also shipbuilding, and of course we failed on that one too. But flood insurance, they're against flood insurance, they're against federal flood insurance,
the NFIB.
And I'm not saying it's a perfect program, but what I am saying is don't stop something. I mean, what would that do to all the condos and private home? I mean, your home in West Mobile falls under that same program.
Mm-hmm.
So it would throw everything in a tailspin. But these are the people that want all of that stopped. They're the no group. Everything's no, 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 no.
Well, this has come up. Okay. And this came up when Bill Hightower was in last week about this litmus test for this Club for Growth. And I want to get back to the other monies, but let's talk about Club for Growth. This litmus test that you go to Washington, you sit down and you get asked questions. You reference that All-Store or Farm Bill or flood insurance. I asked him, did he, you know, how did he answer those questions? He said he was not asked those questions.
That the day I was questioned, I think I had 11 meetings that day. They call it speed dating, or that's the term I use, and they're bringing in one right after the other. Club for Growth was a little bit different. You have to go to them, and they've got a small panel that we actually interviewed with. They did ask me the question about the Austell contract, because I found that one very peculiar, and I told them, just straight up, you're talking about 4,000 jobs. There's no way I can vote against 4,000 jobs. Farm bill package. They want to stop all subsidies to the local farmers or farm community as a whole. So, how can I vote against my farmers? I mean, this is the backbone of America. You pull that rug out from under them, they can't compete in other markets now because the labor's so cheap in South America or other things that influence the price. We have to work with our farm families. It's not an option of should we. It's a matter we have to. So when we got back, and of course we got on the campaign trail, and Chris Pringle and Wes Lambert, which by the way I picked up the endorsement of both of them immediately after the March 3rd election, both of them, we started comparing notes before the March 3rd election, and we had very similar questions that they were asked in the same meeting. The fact you are interviewed by a group does not mean that you want their support. Because you interview with a lot of people up there, you're not asking for their support. You're interviewing them, they're interviewing you. Mm-hmm. We would not take Club for Growth money, especially after what I heard. So did we all interview? And that was the question that we all interviewed. And Bill's the only one of the three that did not get asked these questions. I don't know. Let your imagination figure that one out.
Okay, coming back, got a lot of folks holding on the phone lines. We'll get right to you and on the text line as well. Candidate for AL1 in the Republican primary runoff, Jerry Carl, in the studio, and your chance to ask the candidate right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Your chance to ask the candidate and get to know the candidate, although we've had a lot of conversations in this extended campaign season, got longer by 100 days or so, with the moving of the primary runoff to July, which, reminder, July 14th. Jerry Carl, Mobile County Commissioner, candidate for AL1 in the primary, in studio. Taking your calls and text, and we're doing that throughout the hour. And we'll go to the phones here, and let's see. David in Mobile, first up. David, you're on with Jerry Carl.
Hey, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good. I've been doing some research just to decide who I'm going to vote for in the coming election. I found out that you were sued by a few local businesses, like Bottom Ninth, also Danilin Development. So how can I trust you to represent me in Congress if your own business associates can't trust you?
Can you tell me the two names again? I missed that. I couldn't hear that.
Yeah, Broad and Knight and Danilin Development.
Okay,
are you saying Broad and Knight?
I have no idea, David. I have no idea who you're talking about. I don't. I'll start off on this, and maybe I'll answer your question in the process. But I'm endorsed by virtually every business community in the state of Alabama, where it's BCA, the Cap 150, all the business groups in Mobile and in District 1 are supporting us. So I don't know what those two you're referring to, because it does not ring a bell. I apologize.
There you go. All right. Let's see. Got the phone. Mike in Theodore, you're on with Jerry Carl.
Hey, Mike.
Hey there. How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Afternoon.
Hey, I just had a quick question here. So I've seen a lot of stuff online where the IRS is issuing some liens against a couple of your businesses around here, Mr. Carl. But I see that you also want to raise our gas taxes by a few hundred million dollars. My big question here is, though, if you're not paying your taxes, why do you not want to raise mine?
Sir, I have no tax liens. I think what you're talking about is actually a Mississippi a state issue, not a federal issue. But that's all right. The gas tax, I did not vote on the gas tax. The gas tax was actually done through the legislature. I do not get to vote on the gas tax, nor have I. I'm a county commissioner. I cannot raise taxes. So regardless of what people are telling you, I cannot raise taxes.
Mike?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I think that's formulaic here. That I would like to hear some people, if you're asking a question, I'll just say this, and then I'll get back out of this. If you're going to ask a question on here, then stick around for the answer or have a retort. It seems questionable when you just ask the question and then don't have a secondary, because I've been doing talk radio long enough here that if somebody answers, usually there's a second and a third question. Just seems like something I wonder here. All right, let's go to Chuck in Spanish Fort. Hey, Chuck, you're on with Jerry Carl.
Oh, how are you, Mr. Carl?
Hey, Chuck, how you doing, sir?
Good. I got a quick question for you. I've been seeing a lot of stuff on Facebook about a $6 million deal that was done in Mobile, and it says that you gave three times the fair market value, and this is something you've publicly denied. But with a little bit of research, around the time of the deal, you told AO.com that you advised him to get more money out of it. So which is it?
I think what I had, you're quoting me on, first of all, you know, I take offense to that project being called and dumped on me. That project was brought to me. We originally had school board property designed for it. The Walmart folks got excited and expanded. It went from 200 to 300, 300 to 400 acres. So the option we had was actually moving it over to, as the literature says, an attorney's property. He's owned that property since the early 80s. I was familiar with that property because I had the idea of expanding the Irvington Airport out there, and it may sound funny, but that would actually been an international airport because of that exit on and off, the Ballabatry exit we refer to it. So with that done, we have T-Mobile. T-Mobile consists of the city, all the city councils. It consists of all the county commissioners. It consists of the mayor, and it consists of the governor and the governor's staff. So to say we paid three times the value of that property, I question that. I think that's offensive, if you want to know the truth, because that property was valued by commercial people that know what they're doing. Now, my statement was after they had already made a deal on the property, I said that the property was worth more because the school board property we were looking at around $50,000 an acre. And if my memory serves me right, this property is right next to the school board property, and the man that sold it for around $15,000. So there's a big difference between $15,000 and $50,000. And I appreciate his civic responsibility and actually gave it to us cheaper than probably what it would appraise for if that would have been pointed out. But you know, these attack acts on that project, you know, that's 750 jobs. If you want to go out there and tell those 750 people that I did something wrong, I dare you to do it. I dare you. I mean, this has gotten ridiculous on that project. That was a great project for this area. So was Airbus. So was Amazon. So was Austell. And I'll fight for those jobs every day. That is my job, and I understand it. And to get people to call me out on it, that is your responsibility as a voter, and I've answered it.
I do have a quick follow-up, if that's allowed. On the article I was reading, it was originally appraised at $2 million and sold for $6 million, but where I've become concerned is the person who owned this property and sold it was a campaign donor of yours.
I've got about 800 different donors in this district. So the chances are, if I throw a rock and hit something, it's going to be a donor. Now, where you're getting your appraised value at $2,000 and what it sold for is too totally. I have no idea where you're coming up with those numbers. I'm not familiar with that a bit. So, yeah, the article that was written, I questioned the writer. He said he wrote it two ways: one pro the project coming in, and one negative, and AL.com chose to go with the negative side.
Hey, y'all, we're up against the bottom of the hour news break, and we'll leave the line open with Chuck. Let me do this as we go to the break. Let me take my arrows here, too. All right, so this is what I'm reading on the text line. So, Sean, why are you letting all the Hightower staffers call in? Are you on the Hightower payroll? I am not on the Hightower payroll.
No.
I wish I could be on anybody's payroll if they would. I'll give you the address here. Supermom says, those are planted calls. Mr. Hightower is desperate. David saying, wow, the Hightower people are out in force today, aren't they? All right, we'll get back to the calls. You make the call when we get back at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 on this Monday, and your chance to get to know the candidate. Ask the questions. AL1 Republican primary, July 14th. Absentee ballots at 9th. If you, for some reason, have... I don't think any of y'all in this audience have done that. But if you goofed around here and have not gotten registered to vote, it's today. Today. That's the deadline. All right, back to the phones, and let's go to, let's see here. Is it Jessica in Mobile? Jessica's up next.
It is. Hi. Hi, hey. Gary.
Hey, Jessica. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. I just wanted to say I think you've been doing a great job as a county commissioner so far.
Thank you.
And I just have a quick question. So your pro-life issues are really important to me as a voter. So can you tell me your stance on the abortion issue?
I'm pro-life, and I tell this scenario all the time. It's amazing that we have federal laws that will protect a nest on the beach, but yet we can't protect an unborn child. That I just find that very confusing. My wife, early days worked with. I did a lot of traveling. She did a lot of volunteering with several anti-abortion groups. So you know, it's an important factor. It's an important factor for everybody to actually focus on. But I am definitely pro-life. There's no doubt about that.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Paul in Spanish Fort. You're on with Jerry Carl.
Hi, Mr. Sullivan, Mr. Carl. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, I've seen a lot of ads calling you a swamp creature and saying that you didn't support Donald Trump in 2016. So I guess my question is, do you support the president?
Yes, of course I support this president. I pray for him every night, pray for him every morning. I don't understand how the man continues to push on like he's pushed on. But with that said, we have got to elect somebody from this district that's going to go up there and support him. You know, my wife supports me, but that doesn't mean she agrees with everything I say or I think. So, you know, we've got to send people up there that are willing to stand in line with Trump and take this pushback that we're getting from the Democrat Party, because it's become the Democrats and the socialisms and the communism too that are really stirring so much up in Washington. And Trump seems to be at this moment one of the few that he's able to withstand it, and I don't understand how he does it. You're talking about all this negative ads and stuff. They talk about, you know, I'm not supporting Trump, this and that. I supported Trump with my money. Nothing speaks louder than your money. Any elected official will tell you, if you get somebody's money, you got their vote. I supported the president in his last run with my money. I worked with him in the general also. So I'm very encouraged by what I'm seeing in his numbers. I'm running in this race, not the president. But I'll promise you, after the 7th or after the 14th of July, I'll be out there stumping for the president.
All right, there we go.
All right.
Appreciate the call. Leaves the line open at 343-0106. If the number of people that paid me off, if this thing was accurate, I'd be making some serious bucks here. All right. Let's see. From the text line, Terry says, sometimes I get more out of who's against a candidate than who supports them. Anybody the Club for Growth is against gets my attention. It's interesting. Kind of a backwards
and
thing.
I agree with that. I've not seen them be very spot on. They've picked some very odd candidates. The fact that they want to tear down the Republican candidates just amazed me. It confuses me, I should say.
Is there the amount of interest? I mean, I'm proud of our district. This will, you know, but I'm surprised at their interest in AL1.
Well, there's something there that we don't know, and that's the big mystery. What is it that we don't know? That's the part that's going to come back and bite us if I lose this election. We'll figure it out down the road somewhere.
Let's go to Kay in Mobile. You're on with Jerry Carl. Kay.
Good afternoon, Sean. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Kay.
I received the piece of mail. I think it's been referred to while I've been in the queue, but it was very unflattering. Photoshopped pictures of you and made a lot of claims about you that I know to be false. It stated that it was sent by a group called Club for Growth out of D.C. Tell me a little bit about this group and why are they attacking you?
Well, we really don't know why they're attacking me, other than I'm not their candidate. I've always been very outspoken. I try to represent the people. I'm the one that will take uncomfortable situations sometime. You know, I'm a fighter. I just don't roll over. I'm not the type of person they're looking for. They've poured a tremendous amount of money in this campaign. You can't tell me that they're not going to, should their candidate win, not going to encourage their candidate to vote the way they vote. They have a scoring system, and their candidates are scored every day on the issues, and they're giving a punch list of things to vote for and against. Very few for, most of it are against. So, you know, they're coming at us. They are the original Never Swampers. Most people don't know that. They started the Never Trump. Never Trumpers. They are the original Never Trump movement. They started it. And in my mind, they will always be labeled that way. They're Never Trumpers.
All right, Kay, thank you. All right. From the text line here, so Dale says, is Jerry Carl for term limits? Will he term limit himself? No more than 4 terms? Representative government means citizen soldiers, not careers. Now, I'll say this. I asked this of Bill Hightower. We asked the same question. He said he would support a term limit bill, but if that did not pass, he wouldn't agree to term limit himself, but he would agree to a term limit bill that would require the entirety of the Congress.
And I totally agree with that. And I'm sure Bill probably referred to some document that he signed that he's guaranteed he's not going to that he's going to vote for term limits. I think signing that document is hypocritical, because we know that these elected officials in Washington are not going to do away with their jobs. So for that to come up is going to be a real stretch. I'm not a hypocrite. I may be a lot of things, but a hypocrite's not one of them.
All right. Here's one. This is, what influence will he have to bring light to the lack? Okay. What influence will Jerry Carl have to bring light to the lack of mental health facilities? That's the biggest obstacle for the police.
Oh, gosh. You know, I work with the Sheriff's Department every day on different issues. I'm fully aware of the mental health issues. It's in the streets. It's in our homes. You know, it's loved ones. We have got to do a better job of dealing with the mental health issues. Getting them medicated and turn them loose back on the street is not the answer. At the Sheriff's Department, we deal with that every day. So from a federal level, and you have to work with the states, we have got to. I'd like for us to come back with the mental institutions. So many of our mental cases are drug related, and then we get into the drug aspect of it. It's such a wide question, but we've got to do more than we're doing. I'm almost ashamed of what we're doing, but on the other hand, local government, we're doing all we can do with the funds we have to work with. We start talking about mental issues.
Well, people, health care. It was 7-8 years ago. It was during the first term of Governor Bentley when the state pulled a bunch of funding from state facilities, and I mean, within months, I heard from law enforcement, they're like, this responsibility has now been shifted to us.
And we're the largest dispenser of hallucinogenic drugs in the county of Mobile, because we get them all through the Sheriff's Department. We have to deal. You, the taxpayer, have to deal with them every day.
What?
Yes, it costs you. Government that is not free.
Well, I get that, but we're dispensing those drugs?
We have to. We do. We get them medicated. We get them balanced out. They're checked out to be okay to go in society. They go back in society. They get off their medicine, and they come right back. It's a revolving door, but we have no other option.
Right,
we can't go chain them
the state facilities that were there are not there anymore.
Something goes through Altus, but it's all done on outpatient basis.
All right, coming right back, more with Jerry Carl and your calls at 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:48 and rolling on, your chance to ask the candidate. Candidate for AL1 in the Republican primary, Jerry Carl, in studio. Go back to the phones and text. Let's go first to Sarah Land and check in with Wayne. You're on with Jerry Carl.
Well, good afternoon, Sean, and good afternoon, Mr. Jerry Carl.
Hey, Wayne, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. Look, full disclosure, when Mr. Hightower was running for governor, I campaigned hard out in my neighborhoods for him and tried to get folks to vote for him. And early on in this campaign, I thought we had a candidate 1 and a candidate 1A. But I heard him on the show the other day, and he was asked about all the negative ads that Club for Growth had been running against you, and one in particular, the $300 million gas tax, was brought up. And he said that everything that was said in those ads was true. But now you're telling me that you couldn't vote for that $300 million gas tax. So am I to deduce or deduct or whatever the word is, deduce from that that maybe Mr. Hightower will say anything to get a vote?
I think that's probably a nice way to put it. In campaigns, you do have a tendency of trying to make your candidate look the best you can, but you know, bottom line, I didn't have the luxury to vote on that gas tax.
Exactly.
You know, but what I will tell you is, I was for the dredging of the channel itself. I mean, when I was a child, I worked with my daddy pushing on tugs, pushing boats up in that channel. So that channel is a part of my life. And if we were told if we came up with the seed money to get that started, we could get the federal government to help us out with certainly the lion's share of it. I sit on the board of directors at Port Authority, so I understand a lot of the moving mechanisms there. And there is 162,000 families in the state of Alabama that's affected by that port every day, their jobs. Not doesn't count family members. That's just 162,000 jobs. So it mixed in all this mess, as in most things in life, is the truth. The truth is that ship channel is extremely important. We got to keep it open. We got to expand it because that equals jobs. And jobs was what I ran on my very first time I was in this studio. I ran on jobs, and I'll go out running on jobs.
Yes, sir. Well, I guess the only conclusion that I can come to then is maybe if he wasn't truthful on that, he's not being truthful on things like Club for Growth didn't ask him any of those key questions.
I think that's a fair assumption.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Wayne, appreciate the call. I want to ask you this. So speaking of allegations that have been made, so your campaign has said that Bill Hightower, and I had, off the top of my head, had done dealings with the Chinese that sent how many jobs overseas to China?
I don't remember the exact number, but you know, Hightower bragged about helping the Chinese company go through acquisitions. He did that in two different forms. He did that in his own resume that he put together that was used in the Chamber of Commerce meeting, Southwest Mobile County Chamber of Commerce 2014 newsletter. He bragged about helping the Chinese companies with acquisitions. That's where some of that came from. And, he talks about defending China and some of their growth strategies, and that's where that line actually came from. And I've provided you with all the necessary documents there where we got this information from. And everything we say is backed. It's backed up with documentation. I've got it right here in front of me. I'm trying to read straight from it, which is kind of hard for me to do, is read and talk at the same time.
Okay, so that's where it comes from. And when you came in, you've given me the documentation on this, and that's something I like. Also here, the claim that Bill Hightower had was disgusted with President Trump, or maybe I think the quote here, Hightower is trying to hide his disgust for President Trump.
That was a tweet that Quinn Hilliard put out, and Hightower actually liked it. Several people, when we kept watching that, because the tweets, Hilliard's tweet said that he was disgusted with both candidates that would be running for president.
He talked about on the show last week.
Yeah, he did. And he's upset today because it seems he's got that confused with a Facebook post that he has out. But anyway, I'll discuss that with Quinn, and we know Quinn. I've known him for years. I know his family very well. But, you know, Hightower liked that tweet, and that tweet said that Quinn was disgusted with both candidates talking about Biden and Trump. So there was a couple of comments made on Facebook. We thought he'd take it down. He didn't take it down. We snapshotted it. We used it. Of course, now it's down.
You give
a man a hint and he doesn't take it, you might as well just use it.
Gene is in Mobile. You're on with Jerry Carl.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Gene.
Hi, Sean.
Hey.
I don't have a question, but I'm just calling to tell you how much I appreciate all the business development and jobs that you've helped to bring to Mobile.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well,
you certainly have my vote.
Thank you, ma'am.
July the 14th.
I'm a simple guy. That statement we used early on, I'm just Jerry, just call me Jerry, I hang my hat on that because that's me. I mean, I'm approachable. I like that. I like to hear what people think. Early in my, when I ran for office the first time, I ran on the job issue then. It was 13% unemployment. We had a county commissioner I felt wasn't doing a very good job supporting our business community. So therefore, I got involved. I knocked on 15,000 doors, and I beat him. And I have focused on jobs my entire 8 years on county commission. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world the way I did and the people I got to work with. And I look forward to doing this in Washington. We can take this same concept, this same idea, and we can bring those jobs out of Washington into District 1. That's the key, is bringing the folks down here and getting them exposed to what South Alabama and our way of life is, because the way of life in California and some of these other places has gone crazy. We're still stable. We're still just Jerry's.
Let's go back to the... Actually, I want to read... This came in on the text line here, and it is now moved down the screen. There it is. All right. This person is texting and says, first of all, I asked if this is the radio station. Yes, it is. And said, well, my name is Preston Griffith. I have a small business. I have ALS, and I can't call in, but I'd love to talk. My son has worked closely with our president for the last few years, National Security Council, etc. I went to the dance with Chris Pringle. Now I'd like to give my support all to Jerry Carl. One, because he would have been my first choice, but Chris has been a lifelong friend. Two, all the negative ads from your opponent just turns me off, who I still don't know how he makes a living. I want to put my money where my mouth is, so expect a modest donation. Love your shows, 106.5. Well, that's good. And by the way, Preston, my best friend worked for you most of our childhood, so thank you. Thanks for what you did in business here.
Thank you, Preston. I have one of your hats I wear all the time. So I was unaware of that, your medical condition. I'm sorry to say that, but God bless you.
This coming in from the text line from Dr. Lou Campomenosi with the Common Sense Campaign. They say they endorse Jerry in part because we are totally opposed to the Club for Growth's opposition to using tariffs to level the playing field and prevent Chinese companies from dumping subsidized products to destroy American companies. Trump saved an Alabama cabinet company by imposing tariffs on dumped goods, saving 2,400 people. Dr. Lou, president of the Common Sense Campaign. So,
we've got to push back on China. This pandemic is all from China. We have to hold them responsible, and we have to have people that aren't on the take and that are worried about free markets, like Club for Growth is. I mean, that's what they're all about: free market, no trade, all immigration wide open, borders wide open. I mean, they've got some bizarre. And that just don't work in District 1, bizarre views of business.
All right, Dad, let me do this. Gary, if you can ask this question quickly, we're right up at the end of the hour, but Gary has a question about, is it career tech?
Yes, Sean. Yeah, hi, Jerry.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah, you spoke of jobs and whatnot, and we all know that, you know, the day after these kids graduate from high school, it's unemployment goes, in Mobile County goes through the roof because you have, you know, thousands of people who are unemployed now. And in the school system, there is just no money set aside for career tech ed. There's a few shining stars in the Mobile County system. I'm sure you're aware of, you know, Mr. Mouton, but he's only one man. He can only do so much.
And I've worked with Larry for quite a while. I came from when George Wallace and that group put a trade school on every corner, and we've got to go back to that. We've got to teach our kids a trade. I've been a huge supporter of the school system here, and we'll support them also any way I can.
All right. Appreciate the call, Gary. We are done with the hour. Remind folks if they want more information.
Oh, please. Jerry Carl for Congress, www.jerrycarlforcongress. I'd appreciate appreciate you getting out and vote for Just Jerry.
There we go. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. Got a lot to talk about here. To mask or not to mask, that is the question.